Should go ahead and get started. First thing I'll clear up, you may notice the title of the slide here says collaborating with Office and Office Online. You may notice the entrance thing says collaborating with Office and the Office Web Apps. If you're looking for the Office Web Apps, you are in the right place. Office Online is the new name for the Office Web Apps. I'm going to work very hard in this presentation to try to say Office Online and not Office Web Apps, the old name, but if I mess up, forgive me. But if you are interested about web apps, you are sort of in the right place. And I'll just sort of quickly introduce myself. My name is Mike Morton. I'm the group program manager of the Office Online effort. I'm here talking to you today. There was going to be a co-presenter, Amanda LaFerbe. She wasn't able to make it. Her husband is back for a week between deployments in Afghanistan, and she used that as an excuse. So you're stuck here with me. And since I figured you were stuck here with me, I had to kind of prove my credibility on why I'm a worthy speaker at a SharePoint conference. And so I would start by trying to make a pretty bold claim here that Mike Morton, that's me, is personally responsible for putting SharePoint in the dictionary. And I think I can actually back up that claim, and we'll see if people here want to try to challenge that by the time I'm done with the next couple slides. So just a little background. I was an original member of the SharePoint team, so there were just a few of us that actually started working on SharePoint in 1999. It was just sort of a concept or an idea there. I did work on the first three major releases of SharePoint. I participated in the original SharePoint conference. I'd like to say I did the keynote. Bill Gates actually did the keynote. I did the demo, but I was part of that. And I worked on many of the original sort of SharePoint features, document libraries, lists, a visual blueprint, navigation, the object model, CAML, if anyone here even remembers what that is, I worked on that. And a lot of more things that came in later, like blogs and wikis and discussion boards and tasks, et cetera. I also have a patent for Web Server Document Library. I throw the patent number up there. You can look it up. It is sort of incredible that they actually give you patents for this kind of stuff, but they do. And so we have a patent for the Web Server Document Library, and this sort of dates back way back in time, which is a thing that that we're proud of. But the real proof is this. So what you're seeing here is a screenshot of the Microsoft internal bug database where we sort of track bugs. And basically, what I wrote here is on 12/5/2002, boot word, type the word SharePoint, and a word would tag it as a spelling error. And so I actually literally did add the word SharePoint to the Office dictionary. So every time you type SharePoint, it wouldn't give a spelling error. rest assured, this is a big deal. It gets pretty annoying if you got the little red squiggly underline every time you didn't type SharePoint correctly. So I do think that I can back up that claim. All right, so I'll get into the presentation. So what is Office Online, aka web apps? And really we have kind of two things that I sort of describe it. First, it's real Office on the web in a browser. We've really worked hard to build great experiences for Word, Excel, PowerPoint. I didn't throw OneNote in there. All inside a browser, accessible on as many devices as possible. And I'll be showing you a bunch of that throughout this presentation, including some demos. And we've really also tried to make it a really great first-class collaboration experience. And so we'll show you some of the work that we've done to really make working together, working with people both in your organization, across organizations, across Macs and PCs and tablets and devices and whatever they may have, a unique experience. And I want to show you a bunch of the sort of the innovation that we've done in the collaboration space. So I will sort of cover the new name thing. It's really not that complicated. Basically, everywhere that we used to use the word web app, it's now online. So Office Web Apps is now Office Online. Word Web App is Word Online. Excel Web App is Excel Online, et cetera. There are a few reasons we did this. The first is my dad had no idea what I worked on, and then now when I told him, you know, Word Online, he's like, oh, I get that. We were actually getting a lot of confusion about the word app. When you said, hey, I work on the Office web apps, they're like, hey, which app store do I get that in? You know, do I install it on my iPad? No, we're a browser-based thing that you actually get to from the browser. It was also a little bit of a mouthful, just trying to explain Office web apps to other people and say this is something that you use. We really think the new name will help us. We did just announce the name, I think it was Thursday, about 2 weeks ago. As well as sort of a new website, office.com, which I'll talk about. We've already seen a really substantial increase of traffic in the consumer space, not necessarily in sort of the space that you guys are in. And so we do think that the name will help sort of consumer recognition, and we also think that it will help with businesses and enterprises just having an easier way of recognizing the product. All right, so actually onto what Office Online is. So these are some of the guiding principles. This probably, if you've been to a session or if you've used it over the years, this probably hasn't changed too much, but I do like to go over this and sort of repeat this and kind of get to it, because it really does, a lot of times I get questions like, why should I use Office Online? What does it do? Why is it better than the competition? And I think that these sort of kind of three pillars really kind of express sort of what we do and sort of how we guide making sure that we build a great product. The first thing is that it's familiar. We really want to make sure that when people use Office across their devices, they get the familiar, consistent Office experience. So if you use Office on a PC, if you use Office on a Mac, now you've seen Office on an iPhone and Android phones. And of course, we have Office Online in the browser. We want to have that consistent experience. And that's not just about consistent UI, where you see a ribbon, and you see commands, and you see the things that you're familiar with Office, but all the behaviors and all the sort of functionality that go with it. We want to make sure that people see their documents in high quality, that people have the capabilities that they're used to in Office, that they get behaviors that you want, they get the right speller, so if you type SharePoint, it doesn't actually give you a spelling error, and that we do the kinds of things that sort of make it have kind of the Office quality and sort of the Office feel. Sort of the second pillar that we have is that we want it to be trusted. And this is really sort of a huge differentiator that we have versus anyone else that's kind of tried to go in this path, which is when you're editing Office documents with Office Online, AKA web apps, I'll just sort of say that in case people keep going back and forth, really sort of completely preserve your document. And so whatever formatting, whatever formulas, transitions in PowerPoint, if you happen to have watermarks in Word, whatever sort of advanced features that you have, even if we can't edit everything in the web apps, and so, I made the mistake in Office Online, even if you can't edit everything, we do always sort of round trip that. And that's one of our really big principles, which is somebody can actually be working with desktop Office, they can share it with you, and somebody else can be working with Word Online or PowerPoint Online or whichever app may be. They can make changes, and they're not going to ever sort of lose any data. It's not an import-export. We actually have them natively editing against the Office file formats. We also really try to have high fidelity. We really try to make sure that when people see it in the browser, in their experience, that they actually see it as the author intended. So if you spend a lot of time making a PowerPoint deck with all sorts of great transitions and animations, or you create an Excel spreadsheet with all these calculations and formulas, you want them to be correct. And this is a big deal. For PowerPoint, you want your work to be professional. With Excel, like when formulas are 90% correct, it actually turns out to be problematic, because the 10% of the time when they're incorrect can cause some issues. And so for us, the formulas being 100% correct is this really sort of critical thing, because people run their business on Office, and we recognize that, and we really want to make sure that we have it. And the third pillar is about being collaborative. The first thing is sort of a really key thing. Sort of I wrote, share with anyone with confidence. One of the challenges that we had, we've been building collaboration features in Office for 20 years, as long as I've been at Microsoft. And, we've built comments and track changes and all these really great Office features. But one of the challenges that we had is that typically everybody had to have the same version of Office in order to use them. And so sometimes we'd have issues where, you'd be trying to share with somebody else in your company, and somebody would have Office 2003 and you'd have 2007, or you might be sharing with a Mac person and they have an older version. And one of the things that we do here is that you can actually use the latest functionality in Office, whether it be in the desktop apps or in the web apps, share with someone and have confidence that they'll actually have the latest capabilities. And so when I show you the real-time co-authoring that we have, when I show you some of the comments, some of the sharing that we have, some of the fidelity, that's going to work no matter who you share with. And so even if that person has a Chromebook, I'll throw something out there that's very non-Microsoft, they're going to be able to participate. I would basically say any device with a browser works with Office Online. That's not quite true. I tried a Nintendo Wii, and I just couldn't use the Wiimote and get the experience to work all that well. But pretty much most devices with modern browsers work well. That's sort of one of our top priorities. I'll be showing you a little of that later. And that way you can share with someone, and you don't even have to know. So if I'm sharing with somebody across an organization, I don't have to know what version of Office they're on, what type of infrastructure they have. It's going to work. And of course, editing with others in real time, which I'll get to. So I'll speak a little bit about Office Online in the enterprise. And we see a question I get asked quite a bit is, who's it for in the enterprise? And it's a complicated question, because there are a lot of different I use the term enterprise, but it's really businesses of any size, so small businesses, medium businesses, large businesses. And there are a lot of different reasons that people choose to use it. Some choose to use it. A good example is deskless workers. So we might have a company, you know, I'll use Starbucks. I don't know if anyone's from Starbucks here, but you might imagine all the baristas, you know, want to use Office. They don't necessarily all have their own PC with their own install. Using something in a browser is a very sort of convenient, efficient way. You know, their needs and functionality in Office might not be as complex. And so we see cases like that where we have, you know, Home Depot is another example of a company where we, you know, have sort of deskless workers where they really want to get access to Office, but they don't necessarily want to go through the deployment, the management of Office. They might actually even have individual PCs. They might have a variety of devices. Some people in, you know, we're seeing penetrations of iPads and other devices in these stores, and they want to be able to use Office across their devices and have a consistent experience. And so that is one class of user, but it's not the only class for sure. In fact, we see a lot of usage even for enterprise information workers, people that you know, might have Office on their desktop, but they also have reasons that they want to use Office online. It might be for the real-time collaboration capabilities. It might be because they're on a machine that doesn't happen to have Office, and it just might be because they're in the browser and it's a convenience. I'll show you some integration that we have with Outlook, with Wink, with, I'm actually not going to show that. We have integration with Yammer. We have integration with a lot of the experiences that we have. And so, you know, a good example is you just might be in Yammer. There's an Office document there. You can click that document. That's actually going to show up in Office Online. And so we've really tried to make the experience as smooth as possible. And so I think there's a lot of a utility that we found between that. And there's also just sort of a last thing of preference. You know, I think we found, we still believe that, you know, sort of the richest version of Office that we have is Office, you know, on the desktop that folks are familiar with. But there are a lot of other companies that are really trying to move where they want to run as much as they can, browser-based, online, you know, not having things installed on their machine. And we really want to offer that choice. You know, we want to give people, hey, you know, if you want to install native apps on your device, go ahead. If you want to, you know, if you prefer to use stuff on the web, we'll give you that option as well. So I figured, since I've worked on SharePoint for a while, and then I worked on Office Online from sort of the beginning, I'm trying to kind of give you a little bit of the history of the development to give you an idea of sort of where we've come from and where we are. Actually, before that, let me ask you a question. How many people have actually used Office Online or Office web apps? Just a raise of hands. Awesome, a great set of people. And I'm going to bet that a decent number of the people that didn't raise their hands have actually used it. You just don't know it. You might not have used it in your enterprise if you haven't deployed it there. But in the consumer space, we're integrated as attachment viewing for pretty much every major mail service in the world, except for one, Gmail. We're also integrated in Facebook. And so anytime you get an email attachment that's an Office document in, say, Hotmail, or if you're in China, NetEase, or if you're in Russia, mail.ru, or another, we have a lot of the worldwide providers, or if you have a document in Facebook, in a Facebook group, you click it. We have other partnerships as well that most of them, you actually see that Office is being viewed there. A lot of people don't necessarily realize that's Office Online, but we actually have about 60 million users use us every month, and about 20 million users on sort of a given day to give an idea of a scope. So we actually have a huge amount of use, but a lot of it today is really just for viewing Office documents. But we are seeing pretty steep growth in people using it for richer editing and collaboration scenarios. So I'll go through the history. Actually, first I'll just bring up a slide. I'm not going to go through this, but this is just a timeline of all the what I'm calling major releases of Office Online, or we called it Office Web Apps back then. And what you'll see is a pretty consistent pattern of substantial functionality being added about every 3 to 6 months. So we had, you know, initial releases that didn't even have charts in Excel. We added basic things like charts in Excel. We added some non-real-time co-authoring in Excel. We added major new features across the apps. We made our stuff go worldwide. You know, we had a major update with sort of the Office 2013 release. We continue to make updates. And so we're very much a service offering, and I'll talk about this a little bit more at the end of the presentation. But it is something that's very, very dynamic. And so if you've used Office Online and you think you know what it's capable of, you might want to try it again. It's probably changed since, you know, if you've used it yesterday, you might be okay. But if you used it, you know, even just a few weeks ago, there's probably some things that that have improved since that time. And I'll kind of show you a little bit of sort of how much progress that we've made and how much of things have changed. So the first picture here is the first build of Word Online. So this is dated back May, I think, 24th, 2007. You can tell it wasn't very rich. Basically, we could display text. You couldn't type, you couldn't save, you couldn't edit. But we could open a Word document with plain text. Not bold, that didn't work. And then we worked hard here. Here's a sort of another screen showing it where we actually had the ability to add formatting. I have kind of down there the number of lines of code. So we had about 47 kilobytes of code at this point in time. We did work to add a ribbon. You couldn't actually click the buttons, but it looked like a ribbon. We had question marks for all the icons. We eventually fixed that. Then in due time, we added tables. Things got a little bit richer. You can see the code actually started going down in size as we started using things like, you know, compression and minification of our code. Now we do all sorts of slicing. Don't ask me how much code we have now. It's a very large amount, but we do our very best to make sure you only download the minimal amount possible to work on slower connections. But it's really sort of quite a system. Eventually, we got our stuff to actually work on servers. So kind of the original version was actually kind of mostly sort of a local HTML app. We originally worked on this thing called Office Live Workspace. Anyone that has a Microsoft history book might remember this. This was an offering we had a few years back. This was never released, so this was all pre-release stuff I'm showing here. And that was sort of an original platform. It was based on top of SharePoint. And we basically decided to move from that to basically go on two hosts. One was just pure Office 365, so this is sort of predates Office 365 as an offering, as well as SkyDrive, which is now known as OneDrive. So I apologize for all the renaming that we have going on here. And there was some coincidence of we renamed SkyDrive to OneDrive in Office Web Apps Office Online on the same day, or we sort of announced it all on the same day as kind of a part of the process. And so we have the sort of the OneDrive offering for consumers, and then we have OneDrive for business or SharePoint or Office 365. For business customers. Here we go, just adding some more richness so you can see styles showing up in here. And here you go, here's a picture of the very first release that we had of the Word online. We very carefully picked the document that we showed here. It only had text, it didn't have pictures, it didn't have tables. It looks great because that's all that was in the document. We had some basic functionality and it was good and we were pretty proud of our efforts, but we still had sort of a lot of work to do. Here's a picture of what it looked like when we released Office 2013. You can now see charts. If you look at the ribbon, you'll see a much broader set of commands. You'll now start to see, you know, margins and things that sort of make the thing look like a real Word document. And finally, here's a picture from what's actually the live build, so what you'd actually see today if you go to Office 365. And there's really a wealth of capabilities that I'll show you here. But now your documents really have high fidelity. You can really do a lot of the functionality that you're used to doing across the different apps. And really the point of sort of showing this history, other than kind of fun to look at this stuff, is we've really moved in our mission. When we started working on this project, we might have talked about it as a little bit of a companion. You know, we expect a lot of people to do their authoring in the desktop, and then maybe if you're in a pinch, you could go and use the web apps on the road or Office Online on the road. And now we've really made it so you can really get your work done end-to-end in, you know, Word Online, Excel Online, PowerPoint Online. They're not the full capabilities of the Office desktops. And so if you want to do, you know, some fancy macros talking to, you know, some solver in Excel, we don't have that. But we do have a pretty good percentage of what a typical user uses across the apps. And so we do think that for customers that are not using the heaviest features of Office, it is a real viable thing. And it's a really great competitive offering that we have that you can now really go anywhere in a browser, go, and I'll actually show you how to get there in a second really quickly, and start using Office Online and start working and getting your work done right away. And so again, I encourage people to go out there. You've used it. You might have used it in the past and had some quirks. There's still things we're working on, but we're really committed to trying to make it a first-class citizen. A lot of people, I won't get too deep into this, but some people ask, well, in the consumer space, we don't actually charge for it. It's sort of part of OneDrive. And so people say, oh, Microsoft's not going to invest deeply in it. And that's just not the case. We're really fully committed to having this be a first-class experience for all our customers. We do. It is, of course, something that is part of your Office 365 offerings. And so it is a thing that actually makes money for Microsoft. So we're not just in the charity business. And we are really working hard to make sure that Office is great across all the different experiences that you get. So where do I find Office Online? Previously, when I've done these things, my answer was pretty complex. It was, if you're a consumer, go to SkyDrive, log in with a Microsoft account. Hopefully you have one. If you don't, sign up, fill in the CAPTCHA, go for that, find the little create button. If you're a business, go to Office 365. Hopefully you know how to find that. If you don't, ask somebody. They'll probably be able to tell you. Then go into SkyDrive, and you'll probably find the new button, and somewhere they'll probably find the app. And our goal is to make that a much simpler story. And so the answer now is go to office.com. I'm hoping people can remember that URL. It's not that complicated. This is a really a major initiative that we have. I will warn folks, I'm going to do a full demo of office.com later, that right now what we've done is really more complete in the consumer space than what we have in sort of the Office 365 offering. But we fully intend to unify that and get that going forward. And so I'll show you what exists today in the consumer space and sort of a preview of what we expect to see happening for business users. But it is a place that today all users can go, both sort of business users and consumers, to actually get to your 365 offerings or get to the consumer offerings for Office Online. And so this is, I still have this slide here for where we're available. We're kind of sort of three places. For consumers, OneDrive is the place that you go. You don't even have to go there now. You just go to office.com, and the documents are actually saved via OneDrive, but you don't even have to necessarily go and navigate to their experience. Of course, we're part of Office 365. I'm not sure if folks here have heard much about OneDrive for Business and the various announcements that we've had in this conference, but we're very excited about that new offering. And of course, Office Online is going to be a big part of OneDrive for Business. We're a big part of SharePoint and OneDrive as it is throughout 365. And another unique thing that we have is that we do have an on-premise offering. For folks that do want to run the software on their own servers, we do have, it's called the Office Web App Server. That we haven't actually changed the name yet. We'll probably do so when we do the next release. That is another unique differentiator. We're going to talk a lot about the cloud in these sessions, but for folks that need to run things online, they have your reasons that you have security, you need control of your data, we fully support that. And it's really the same capabilities interfaces on premises that we have online. There is a little bit of a delay in terms of when we release the on-premises stuff from the service, and we're going to try to work to sort of shrink that smaller than it's been in the past. And on-premises are 365. We integrate with SharePoint, Exchange, Link. I forgot to add Yammer to this list as well as part of our things. And so that there's another session for folks that are actually interested in the on-premises product where we actually will talk about all the mechanics of installing and configuring the Office Web App Server actually on an on-premises installation. I did. So, and that was a mistake, but not a complete mistake, because it's Office Web App Server is actually still the name of the product you install on-premise. But thank you for the catch, and I am going to work on this. it is hard after you go through these things. Internally, we actually call the products WAX, which is just the internal product code name for that. And so if I don't actually use that, that's considered a success for myself. Don't ask me for what it stands for. I made it up, and I promise you it doesn't actually stand for anything. So next question is, what devices can I use with Office Online? Just Sunday, just a couple days ago, I was in my house, ready to catch the flight to Vegas here. And I had kind of a typical day for myself. So I woke up in the morning, and I started using the Excel web app in my den in my office, using an Excel spreadsheet. I'm nice and happy working on that. Then it was time for my morning bath, so I decided to put the iPad in a little nook I have above my bath tub, kind of zoomed in. I'll zoom in here. I was using the Word web app on the iPad. If you haven't used, Word Online on the iPad, I didn't make that mistake. If you haven't used Word Online on an iPad, it's great. We've actually done a bunch of work to optimize for the touch experience on the iPad. We actually worked with Apple. Apple actually fixed quite a few issues to have a good touch experience for us on this iPad. When I'm done with the bath, I figured I'd go up on my rooftop deck, check out the view, but it was kind of rainy. So instead, I decided to use the PowerPoint online on my Nexus 5 phone here. So now I'm on an Android platform viewing a PowerPoint deck. You can kind of see hazy Seattle out there in the background, kind of a crummy day. But again, we work on phones, we work on Android, we work across devices. After that, I figured it was time to relax, watch some TV, some sports. I'm lucky enough to have a little sports bar in my house. But if instead of having sports on all three TVs, I decided to co-author with myself. So on two of the TVs there, I have one running Chrome and one running Firefox. We run across browsers. And I was doing some co-authoring. On the left is Michigan beating Michigan State for the outright Big Ten championship, so that's a big, exciting deal. That was entertainment. I couldn't put it across all three screens. I had to watch a little bit of basketball for that. When I'm done in my guest room, this is a Windows tablet running. Of course, we run on Windows tablets. We have the same kind of touch experience that I talked about on the iPad on Windows tablets. Yes, there's an iPhone in my house. It's my wife's. I promise it's not mine. But I figured I'd get out the iPhone, check it out. One of the things I love about the iPhone is a small screen. So this is an Excel spreadsheet with my golf scores. And on the iPhone, it cuts off the actual scores that I have. So that way you don't actually see what I shoot in golf. So the small screen's great. It doesn't show you very much data. But we work on the iPhone. Here I am in the kitchen. I have my Nexus 10 tablet running on an Android tablet. We haven't actually released this yet, so I'll show you a demo of our stuff running on Android tablets. But that's one of the new things that we're coming out with. And then it's finally time to retire, play some Xbox One. So here's the Xbox One. There's my Kinect. And instead of playing Titanfall or the beta of Titanfall or Netflix, of course, I run The Word online on the Xbox One. Runs surprisingly well. You can use a little smart glass stuff. I'm not quite sure why you'd want to use it, but hey, it's fun and it runs on a big screen. And the Xbox One browser is actually quite impressive. And then finally, I end my day by the fire. And I was going to show you a Mac, but I actually don't own a Mac. Everything else is actually all devices that I really just had sitting around my house. So here's just a picture of my laptop with a picture of a Mac in front of my fireplace. Sorry, it's the best I could do. But we do, in fact, run on Macs. That's Safari in a little picture. I promise it runs just great. So I didn't fully cover it. I didn't have a Chromebook handy. But we really do make an effort to run across devices. And this is just sort of a quick illustration of that. Just sort of a quick thing again. I talked briefly about people using Office Online sort of versus using Office on the desktop. But I do want to sort of talk about a thing that the folks have probably seen. We released Office for the iPhone, Office for Android phones. We've always had Office for Windows phones for quite some time. We've announced that we're going to try to make Office work on popular tablets. And sort of the question is, when would I use sort of Office on the web versus Office on native devices? And this is a very complicated question and, can really get to a very high-level thing. I think if you talk to Google, they would say everything is on the web and it's all HTML. If you talk to Apple, Apple doesn't even, iCloud barely has a web interface. They have some stuff, but they're, everything's about devices and apps. And I think we take a very neutral approach. I think that we really believe that that for some customers, using the web is sort of the platform that they chose. I talk about a variety of reasons. People, they may have devices that only have a browser. They may have situations where they're already in the browser using OWA or using Yammer, or using other kinds of experiences where they want to stay in that context. And we have a lot of people that want to use the rich devices. If you're using, if you do have a phone, you want to be able to take advantage of the camera on your phone or the GPS or other parts of the form factor. If you have a touch device, you want to make sure you take advantage of things on that device, like the notification center or the sharing experience. And so for us, it's not really the either or question. If there's one thing for us to really get out of the session, the whole thing is, we really believe that we want Office to be available wherever our customers go. And so that doesn't mean just Windows. That means cross-platform. That means cross-browsers. That means cross-devices. And so we run on, Firefox, Chrome, IE, Safari, you name the browser, we run on, Windows, iPhones, Android. And so we really are absolutely committed to supporting our customers because, we know people have a variety of devices, and in order for particularly a lot of these collaboration scenarios that I go to the show work before, they break down. If you have six people working on something and one of them doesn't have a device running, the latest thing, it doesn't actually work. And so we're really firmly committed to supporting things in whatever way that you see best and whatever way that you might actually have. All right, so now I'm going to go ahead and move on to a demo. All right, so here I am in my OneDrive on SharePoint. And I'm going to go ahead and click on a Word document here. All right, so now this is Word Online. And I'm just going to start by showing you just a couple very basic features. So I'm just going to go ahead and insert a table. This is something that we could do for a while. Just to give you an idea of a little bit of the more richness now, I can go ahead and click and just do two table styles. I could choose banded columns and turn them on and off if I really wanted to, type in here and have this kind of stuff. I'm just kind of showing again some of the richness. I could do cell shading if I really wanted to make this cell yellow. So we've just done and just tried to sort of finish the things that people are familiar with. Another example is headers and footers. This is something that we've seen a lot of people, you know, they like to put the page numbers on there. We support that. Or I could type, you know, confidential. And this would actually, you know, put confidential as the header and footer. And we've really just tried to have a little bit more completeness in terms of the application experience. One thing, too, you might have noticed, you'll see this little save thing at the bottom. You might not notice a save button anywhere. We now have autosave across all of the online experiences. Everything is always saved. For me, this has been sort of revolutionary. It takes a little bit of getting used to, but when you use it, the fact that your documents are always saved, it's always really sort of changes the way you actually even think about using the product. You just sort of go there and instead of taking control S of the save button all the time. It really works great too for the collaboration stuff. I'm going to go ahead and show you kind of a little feature that you might not have seen. We have this box here that says, tell me what you want to do. And what this is it's actually a natural language way to you actually search the commands in Office. And so we know that Office has a lot of functionality, and a lot of people don't necessarily know how to find all the capabilities that are in Office. And so let's say, let me pick another spot in the document here. Let's say I go here and I want to type insert a grid, because I don't actually know that it's called a table. You'll actually see that it actually searches and finds commands, and I could go ahead and just insert a table. Oop, crashes. Sometimes that happens. Let me try a different spot, but I don't really actually have to do this, but I can do sort of insert a table, and it'll insert a table in there. And you notice there that this thing is actually connected to a service, and so what's cool about this is that when people do queries, we actually see what people are actually typing in. And so this thing will actually get smarter over time. And so we're discovering the actual language that people type, not the language that we're actually guessing. And much like search engines and other kinds of things get smarter as people do more searches, we're sort of taking advantage of the cloud and taking advantage of really the pretty significant amount of consumers that use our product, as well as sort of the business space, to actually figure out what people are doing. And so we're constantly updating this, and it actually kind of auto-updates based on the... Did this turn a little bit blue? Yeah, is that better? All right. sorry about that. The connector here is a little bit flaky, and it's kind of a really neat thing for that. And it's also a thing that you'll probably see us do in sort of other, you know, we have it in online today. You'll probably see us do that in sort of other locations. And so now I'm going to go ahead and just go to the review tab, and I'll just click a new comment. And so one of the things I can do here is I can add comments, and you know, you should, you know, I think. Change. It should make more sense, something along those lines. Actually, see here, Kabiri and Becker are now editing this document. And so what you're now seeing here is real-time co-authoring. So you actually see Kabiri here and Becker actually typing in the document at the same time. Of course, I could type as well, and we can do sort of three-way real-time co-authoring. And it really is real-time. This is happening. You can see it character by character as they're typing. I won $800 on the way along this slide. The scary folks, this is true. what she's actually not telling you is that she won $600 with her first spin. She cashed the money out, and then Becca went and played yesterday again and won another like $220. So if you go to the table, I recommend bringing Becca with you. It's highly recommended. You know, the co-authoring stuff has got some neat things. You know, you can actually both kind of edit even the same stuff, so I can actually click bold on here. Umboku is to roll. I can see since Becca was typing, you kind of saw that it showed kind of a little peg person. Since Kabiri is not typing, it shows her little cursor, and when I hover over it, it kind of shows where she is. I can click on the upper right here, and I can actually see who else is editing the document. So I can see Becca and Kabiri. We actually had about 85 people co-authoring a document at Microsoft the other day, so we actually support a pretty enormous number. I don't necessarily know what scenarios that really works for in most kinds of things, but we do support scaling. Again, it all kind of works in real time. We've really found that, you know, we've been using this internally at Microsoft. This is released, and this is available. This is released about a month and a half ago. But we really find that this really changes the way you actually mentally think about co-authoring. Before we had sort of co-authoring, we'd have to sort of save and refresh, and you weren't always really sure what other people were doing. Now you can really go and type and see what's going on, and we think it's kind of a fantastic experience. All right, so now I'm going to go out of my Word document here, and I'm going to go switch into Excel spreadsheet. I'm going to go ahead and just click that into edit mode here. So we have not yet released the real-time co-authoring on the on-prem version. So it is available on Office 365. We fully intend to release it as part of the on-prem thing. We do have co-authoring on the on-prem version, but it's not real-time. And so the changes that you see don't show up in that sub-second sort of period. And so you have not quite that sort of full experience. It is one of the... one of the things that we are really trying to work on right now is trying to figure out a better path that we can get the stuff that we're doing in the service that we're releasing every couple months and having that be available to the on-premise customers. And we haven't, we have a lot of plans there, but we haven't actually fully executed on getting that out yet. So everything I'm showing you here is live for the 365 service, but not, actually, everything up until later in my demo is live on the service. But this is not yet on the on-prem thing. In Excel, I'm just going to show you some basic Excel things. You know, here I'm just going to type the letter M, and you just see it auto-completes the mic or the letter D, just like you would expect in Excel. This is kind of a boring thing, but it's a little example of the kind of thing that wasn't originally there in the Excel online and is there now that really just makes you kind of forget about it when you use spreadsheets, but if you don't have it. So we've really tried to not just add capabilities like charts and pivot tables and all the things that are formulas and all the more advanced Excel stuff, but really just a lot of the basics of being able to select and type and have autocomplete and have all that work, kind of a really nice fashion here. And you can also see, if you see cursors going around here, now you're also seeing the real-time collaboration happening again. So once again, Kabiri and Becca in here. You can see some Excel-specific stuff here. So it says, you know, Becca's editing D21 and Kabiri's on F25. So you can actually see where they are in case they're not. They're changing this chart like mad people. I can do a number here. Let me pick a big number, and so that way the chart is. Yeah. So the question is, can we have a list of functionality between the sort of the on-prem version, and we're working on that. So we do have some of that available today. It's one of these things that we need to work better on keeping up to date, because I think the last one we released is a few months old, and so we are. I'm going to try to have an effort that I think it's going to be on TechNet, that we'll have basically a white paper that sort of goes through and lists the functionality between each of the sort of the desktop apps and what's available. And so there are a bunch of things that I didn't show in here, but you know, more advanced stuff like data validation, sheet protection. There are a bunch of the kinds of things along those lines that we've added recently. And you know, one of the things we learned in Office, you might have heard this before, but a lot of people say, you know, the average Office user doesn't use more than, you know, 20% or 10% of the Office features. That's actually really true. We have all the data. In fact, it's less than that. The average Office user uses less than 10% of the features. It turns out that we have more than one user, though. And so if you look at a broad user base, they don't all use the same 10%. So for example, if you go talk to students, like, they'll ask for headers and footers and footnotes and equations. And, you know, as a business person, I can't remember the last time that I used, you know, a footnote or an equation. While if you go in businesses, they might ask for IRM, or they might ask for password protection or other kinds of things. And so what we've really tried to do, and even within business, you'll see huge variation. You'll see some people that deeply care about certain parts of Excel or different kinds of Word. And so we really are trying to try to sort of be as complete as we can. And I'll talk a little bit later about how our methodology is sort of picking things up. I'll just sort of quickly here just show you this too. Here's just another Excel sheet that I have. And you can see them going around. And you can actually see us. We can play a little game of chase here as they move around, and we can see if their characters can actually catch up to us. Yeah. So the real message here is you can play chase with Excel. The actual real message, it actually is a pretty fun game. Actually, in seriousness, we have found in meetings, it's just like a really great way to kind of be a pointer. So I'm like, hey, I'm looking at this cell. And other people can actually see it yourself. But the actual reason I demoed it is to show the performance. So this is all happening sub-second. We're using the show's Wi-Fi here, which is not all that great. We use a bunch of web technology. We use WebSocket, SignalR for people that are into the more technology stuff to really try to make this stuff as fast as possible. And the reason we do it as fast as possible is not just so you get that thing, but it actually gives you that kind of smooth, kind of confidence-inspiring experience that you actually know what's going on and knowing that's working. Yeah, so the question is, how do you deal with problems of one user sorting and another person exchanging information? So I'll try to get the simplest answers I can, and I'll get a little complex. So the dealing with merge is an incredibly complex problem. And so whenever you have these two kinds of changes, we basically have, for as many places as we can, an algorithm that chooses what we think is the right thing to do. So for example, if let me pick a different thing, because I know for sure on this one. I'm in Word. You know, if somebody moves a table cell and somebody else bolds a table cell, we'll just go ahead and move it and bold it, because we think, oh, those two things are compatible. Well, if somebody else, say, deletes a table cell and somebody else makes a table cell red, that's kind of a contradictory thing there. And so we make a choice of which of those two that we think is actually the right behavior to happen. And I'll get a little bit later about how we actually do that, because one of the things that we've really done, and I'll kind of say this for later, is that we've really tried to make it very telemetry-based. And so the example that you gave us, basically, if we see people hitting that, we will go and address that. And so instead of us kind of guessing what the most common interactions are, we actually now, through the telemetry in our system, know what the biggest, we sort of call them conflicts or merge conflicts, and we actually go and fix that. And so behind the scenes, in the actual implementation of this co-authoring stuff, all the cool things that I showed you is showing presence and the typing and the data going back and forth. Like, that was probably 20% of our effort, and 80% of the effort is actually answering that gentleman's question and having us do all the right things in handling merge. And that's actually the real reason why co-authoring is just a very, very technically hard feature, is to be able to deal with that and have kind of the right behaviors happen. We do have, also Thoreau, we do have versioning as part of SharePoint. And so you can always get, in the off chance that something happens that you're not happy about, you can always go back and do the previous version. And so that is kind of an important part of the story, though I can't remember the last time I've actually used it. The stuff is pretty reliable.
Can you use undo for other people's edits or just your own?
Yes. So undo works just for your own edits. and so that's another one of these technical problems that, if five people are making changes and you've made two changes, you don't want your second undo to be like somebody else's random change. And so so undo is another one of these very complicated things. And so I will warn that there are some limitations of undo. So there are some things that you can do that basically will stop the levels of undo if like somebody completely, moves around all the slides in a PowerPoint deck or something along those lines, or if there are a few cases along those lines. But we do try to make the undo individual based and not shared, or otherwise you would get some really confusing user experiences. Yes. I believe the algorithm is something like this, but I'm going to get it wrong, but I'm going to try to get close. So I think there's some time period, so like a snap reversion every 10 minutes or every 15 minutes along those lines, as well as the last time somebody closes an Excel spreadsheet. So once the thing is closed, then a version always gets snapped. At that point, I may not have that interval exactly right. It is something that is a really good long-term question for us, because the balance for us is that we really want to have as granular of versions as you can to make sure that you can get back and sort of get those changes that you have, while not A, sort of storing massive amounts of disk space in terms of versioning, and B, potentially confusing users by having literally every person somebody types and goes through that. And so for the future, so what I described to you is what we have today. For the future, kind of that's one of our high priorities, is really trying to solve that problem of really trying to make it easier to see who changed what over time. And so you can imagine experiences where you could sort of zoom in and out of time and see who changed what. And so I'm speaking future here. We don't have that. But it is a problem that we are trying to solve, and it is something that we're trying to do with all of the online apps. Yeah, so autosave, nothing. It's just always saving. There's no trigger. You just type and it's saved. And so there is a concern that people have of like, well, what if I go and make changes and I don't like them? Well, undo works. You can always undo. You can always go back to the version history. But we have gone to a model where it is just always saving. It's a little bit more complicated than that. Like if your device actually like loses connectivity, if you have Wi-Fi, for example, then let me actually click Word just to show this to you real quickly. So because my connectivity is so good here, you're just going to see this thing always say saved. Actually, did you see it say saving dot, dot, dot really quickly there? Yeah, there it goes. I don't know if you guys are eyes are fast enough to spot it right down there. It is really hard to catch. There you go. And so when it's actually unsaved, you actually see that show up. If I had, say, a very slow connection, or if I pulled my network cord or didn't have a connection, then it would actually give you a little thing saying it's not connected to the server and prompt me with sort of an opportunity to go back. And so it will sort of queue that up for going back to the server. But if you're on a fast connection, the save is basically instantaneous.
It's not a version.
It is not a version. So it would be after 10 or 15 minutes, whatever that period is, or upon close of the document that a version would actually be snapped. Yeah, so the question is, if I have track changes turned on, will it track changes for all the users? And so the answer is yes. If you turn on track changes, if a track changes is turned on for a Word document, all the changes made by people will be tracked. The Word Online app doesn't actually show you the visualization of track changes that you see in the Word desktop with all the cross-outs and the text. But if you have it on, people make changes in Word Online, and then you open that thing back up on the Word desktop, you actually will see all the changes, and it will be as if it were from one user. You'll just see everything with all the red and the squiggly, you know, all the X's and sort of the added text on there. So the question is linking available between Word and Excel in the online version? So you can insert hyperlinks in Office in the thing. So I can insert a hyperlink, and I can insert a hyperlink from a Word document to an Excel spreadsheet or PowerPoint. We don't have some of the more sophisticated things where you might have like a chart and a PowerPoint presentation that's like connected to an Excel spreadsheet. That again is something that we're working on and would love to do, but we don't have that at the moment. Yep. Yes. Okay, so the question is, if somebody does a complex calculation, how does that work? So I'll try a quick shot. The actual calculation model is on the server. So like when I change it, so there's only one actual calc model. So it's not like each individual session of Excel has their own copy of the data in the model. And so when the first person changes the thing and it's doing a recalc, it's really like almost think about it as if there were like four people on the same keyboard. Like it's actually kind of that same sense. And so when the other people are typing on the other kind of thing, you know, it's as if they were also typing on the other keyboard or sort of added a thing. And so it's just like if I were in Excel and I changed the number and it's doing a calc and I also changed some other number, it would just happen to be two people. And so that's part of the architecture that we have by having sort of that single model for the calculation that maintains the integrity of the data. Yeah, so today we do not, if you have a password protected document with actual, you know, the actual password protection, not SharePoint permissions, not SharePoint IRM, we don't open those with the online apps. That's absolutely high on our list. We've heard that customer feedback quite a bit. And so if you do use that, we do have protected cells in Excel, I think is the one thing that you have. So I think you can actually protect a range of cells with a password. And so I think that's the one thing that we do, but we don't have the Word password protection, and we are trying to do that. Of course, if you're having stuff on SharePoint, you know, we would encourage you to use SharePoint permissions and the IRM stuff in SharePoint, which we think is much more robust than the older sort of desktop-based password protection that we have. I'm just going to quickly show you PowerPoint, just because we want to give love to all of the Office apps. And here I am editing in a PowerPoint deck. The first thing you'll notice is just, you know, a pretty good amount of richness in terms of the kinds of content that it can show. We really worked hard, again, to make sure that you have the fidelity. So if you spent a long time creating a PowerPoint deck with great pictures and animations and transitions, they all preserve here in the deck. If you actually view it in slideshow mode, it looks great. But I'm going to go ahead and just click on a new slide here. You can actually see that it pulls the different layouts from the template. So I'll just pick a basic slide template here. And I'll go ahead and click to insert a smart art here. And I can type in, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and click away. And it looks like somebody's desktoping here. So don't forget Office Web Apps equals Office Online. I think I've done a pretty good job so far of this presentation. And then there's a, is that Oompa Loompas? okay, so I think Oompa Loompas made it into my presentation. So the Willy Wonka machine, I think, is actually at the corner. So the theory of the corner slot machines winning, I think, might actually be a real thing. And again, you can see co-authoring working here. You know, I'm just gonna, I'll show you some of the, you know, here's just again some of the richness. I can go and change layouts here so I can do a lot of the smart art stuff that you might be available with. Again, we have sort of smarts per app, so we always have this little well of who's editing the document, but here it tells you what slide they're on. You know, I can see actually in this view on the left, you know, where Kabiri is. You can see that Becca just moved the slide too, so I can see her kind of moving up and down, going back and forth between the documents. And again, we have kind of the same sort of co-authoring stuff across all the different applications. All right, so I'm going to go switch over here and bring up a Word document. And this is a this is really a feature that's only going to be appreciated by somebody that, for folks here that have actually used Word Online in the past. And so I'm going to click print. And when I click print, what it's going to do is it's going to print. All right. For folks in the familiar in the past, we would save the thing out to a PDF file. You could go and you could get to the PDF file and find the print from there, and it worked about three quarters of the time and a quarter of the time. This is not shipped, so this is the first thing I'm showing here that's actually not available, but this is all real code. This will be available in the next few months, so this is very much on the docket. It works in IE here, it works in Chrome as well, across sort of the different browsers. And again, just an example of the kind of usability thing that we're really trying to do to try to make people's lives a little bit better. I'm also just going to switch over here. So this is OWA, and I'm looking at my mailbox in OWA. And here I have an attachment. Somebody sent me an Excel spreadsheet here. And I can just click on this Excel spreadsheet, and you'll see some of the really cool integration that the OWA team has done with the Excel web app. So here's the actual spreadsheet. This is the wiring diagram for all the speakers in my house. When I moved into my house, I had this like massive thing of unlabeled speakers, and I had to go and like test every one of them. It was crazy. And here I have this this Excel spreadsheet, and I can actually click edit a copy here. So somebody just sent a normal attachment. They could send it with any mail client in the world. This is just a regular, everyday, boring attachment. I can click edit a copy, and what you'll actually see here is right inside the OWA experience, I'll get the Excel web app, so I can go ahead and add stuff on here. So I might do, you know, main hall and whatever, powder room, whatever I might be missing, and make changes on that. And when I'm done with that, I can also sort of type in the message. So this is just the OWA compose note. And so I can just, you know, type my text that I would hear in sort of the compose note. And it's already going to be responding back to the person that I sent my mail. And so if I just click send here, it's basically going to return that attachment with the edits that I made with whatever notes, you know, I might say, you know, check out my changes or whatever would be relevant here. Click send, we'll send that off, and now they'll actually get that spreadsheet updated. We found that for customers that use OWA, this is a huge deal because now they can get attachments, particularly customers that use OWA that don't have Office on their machine or maybe they don't even have the SKU or the version of Office 365 that has the actual desktop clients. Now they can edit their documents and work with that. And just real quickly, I'll just show you one other thing. In this case, I'm going to go ahead and create a new message, and I'm just going to insert an attachment. And I'll just pick a file from my computer. Doesn't really matter. Yeah, maybe not my taxes. All right, what's better here? How about this one right here? And you'll see this UI that you actually have two choices when inserting an attachment. So I could send an attachment, and this is going to be the attachment that, you know, that we've had an email for, I don't know how many years, 30, 40 years. But you can also upload this to OneDrive and send a link. And so we really think this is a powerful way that we think sharing is going to work in the future, that rather than actually sending attachments, we've now really tried to make it as easy as possible right from your mail client to actually upload a link and send that link. And then once that document is actually in OneDrive, you know, you're going to have all that co-authoring. You're not going to have multiple versions of the document. Well, you have version history, but you won't have, you know, multiple forks of the document. And we really think that this is just the tip of the iceberg that we're trying to do with Outlook. We're trying to do similar things with Yammer to really try to build a great collaborative experience kind of across the board.
So which OneDrive is it?
So this is the OneDrive for Business. So this would be your Office 365 OneDrive for Business that I'm showing here. And so everything I've shown here to date is the Business 365 offerings that I had. That is actually a good question. I think it goes to the root of your OneDrive, yes. The attachments folder. There you go. All right. And then I have one other quick demo if I can do this here. I believe it uses, it's not anonymous. Well, it will send it a tokenized URL. So basically, it will put it in your OneDrive folder. It will share it to the other people. And the actual URL will have this GUID or this token. And so that way, people won't have actually access to that document without actually having that token. And so it's only the people that actually get the mail that have access to the document that you share with them. Will it actually set the permissions at SharePoint? All right, gosh. Next time I'll make sure to have better preparation on the OS stuff. Do you know the answer to that?
Welcome. Okay. Willy, famous Wonka bars.
Sorry, this is part of the demo. I'm just prepping. Go ahead. Do you know the answer to that? One other real quick demo here. This is something that you probably rarely see demoed at a conference. But I'm actually going to show you our support for accessibility. And so this is typically people that are non-sighted or are blind users using screen readers. Actually, I shouldn't even use a mouse here. But
Candy Maker Willy Wonka portrayed by Gene Wilder has hit
reading the text
Candy
here.
Factory as well as a lifetime supply of Candy.
So this is basically how screen readers are supposed to work, if folks are familiar with that. We've done a whole bunch of work. Again, this is kind of showing the maturity of where we are with Office Online. At first, we just tried to make it so you could type and save. You know, now we're trying to do things like accessibility. So if you are a government or an organization that has users with accessible needs, we want to make sure that we support all customers. And when we say all customers, we actually mean all of our customers. And so just kind of example
S.
here, I can go ahead and select this
selecting
text.
S.
I should have actually typed the real word here.
Ribbon toolbar.
And here I
tell me what you want to
key.
Do, and it tell me what you want to do.
So this is
blank.
The little tell me thing, and I'll
F
type in font size.
I Z E list shrink size menu but list grow list 9 button ribbon
Change
toolbar paragraph.
All right, and that demo worked perfectly. That's actually how the experience works. If you really want to. Go through a day. Actually, try wearing a blindfold using Office with those things in it. It's really a humbling experience. It's actually really humbling to watch people that do that are non-sighted and use this stuff all day and how efficient they really are. Again, just kind of trying to show how committed we are to really making sure Office Online is a great experience. And I lied. I actually do have one other thing to demo if this works. Great, highly secure password there. All right, so all I'm showing you here is an Android tablet. I will go and show this around. So this is a Nexus 10. And this is us editing on an Android tablet. So I can go here and click edit. I can actually think, and make some changes. I could make this bold or whatever I wanted to do. And I'm not going to do sort of a full demo with a touch. But we are supporting Android tablets for all the Office Online. Again, this hasn't been released. This is coming out in a couple months. We've run into some issues with Android. We're actually working with Google on this, believe it or not. We work with our competitors at times. And we're really excited to make sure that we have Office not just on Android phones, which we support today, but on Android tablets as well. And I should turn off my sound, I think.
No, mixer.
What was that? You could play Chase on that as well. In fact, the performance on the Nexus is a pretty fast machine. It's great. So you can play Chase on that. It does all the real-time co-authoring. has sort of the full capabilities. And so if you want, you could play chase between an iPad, a Nexus, a PC, and a Mac, and see who wins. It might be a fun thing to do. All right, switching back to my slides. This is just a little bit of just kind of a roadmap of some of the stuff that I talked about. So going back, some of the things that we've most recently released, real-time co-authoring, we worked really hard on performance. We've worked a lot on just kind of layout. The touch support, I didn't really give you a fair demo of that, but we did a bunch of work to try to have a decent quality touch experience. This is some of the stuff coming forward. So I showed you direct print, Android tablets. These latter things I kind of hinted about. So things like change visualization was sort of that thing we sort of talked about, having it more easy to deal with all the different versions that happens when people make a bunch of different changes. We're going to continue to add authoring features, make it easier for people to communicate with each other. And so again, we're really doubling down on Office and really making sure that we have a great experience for people using us on the web. This is just a little bit of a summary. So this is probably more for people that might want to check out the PowerPoint deck afterwards, is sort of what I showed of kind of what's new. So the real-time collaboration, autosave, like, it seems silly, but I just really think this is sort of one of the biggest things that we've done. It really does sort of change your experience to have sort of the consistent reliability. We showed you the real-time co-authoring stuff, which was neat. This is a more detailed list of some of the authoring tools that we've done recently. So, you know, a lot of things like freeze panes. You know, until you don't have freeze panes, you don't realize how important freeze panes are. You know, the ability to hide and unhide rows is another good example. In Word, we just some very basic things like find and replace. Another great example of, you know, if you don't have it, you know, actually turns out replace is pretty convenient. PowerPoint's added transitions, animation, shape formatting, themes, variants, all sorts of stuff. You know, really the kind of going across the way. We have a bunch of fancy animations here, but basically we support viewing across all devices. We support editing on everything but phones. So we don't actually support editing in the browser-based experience on phones. We do on our native apps. So Office for the iPhone, Office for Windows Phone, Office for Android is what you're going to want to use if you do editing. Our experience is trying to jam kind of an editing experience on a, you know, even the 5-inch, even the bigger phones is not the best, and that we're better off with sort of the native apps there. But we have built touch-enabled experiences for both the tablets and the phone. So we do, on the phone and the tablet, try to build experiences that, you know, when you pan and zoom, they do the right thing. And when you're in PowerPoint, you can swipe right and swipe left to go across your slides and do the things that you'd sort of expect, the gestures that you'd expect to work on touch devices. And so now I'm just going to do a real quick demo of Office.com to show you what's going on there. So let me get out of Firefox here. And I should, I'm going to kill the screen reader too, just so it doesn't try to keep talking to us. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go to office.com. So I can just show you, I can just type office.com, and here's what you see. This is our new sort of front door experience for the Office Online experience. Today, if you're a business customer, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to click sign in. Or sign in. We have it in two places. So one's in the upper right where you expect, and then we also just sort of say, looking for your work or school and sign in. And I could do that. So I could go ahead and just click sign in right here, and it would take me to the page that, oh, I don't know why that didn't work right now. I'm already signed in with some invalid ID right now. What? Yeah, that will work. Safety in private browsing. Good call. And that would bring you to the sign-in page. Hey, excellent demo help from the audience. Once you sign in, that would get you to your Office 365 experience. Your Office 365 experience doesn't look like this today. It looks pretty different. We are going to work over time to try to make our consumer experience and our 365 experience more consistent. Let me show you a little bit. So the rest of what I'm going to show you is some of the consumer stuff and kind of give you an idea here. And so here I go to office.com. And I just click on Word Online here. And I can sign in with a Microsoft account. And I'll go ahead and do that real quick. And I can go ahead and just create a blank document, a template. I'll just go ahead and choose a blank document here. And, oh, phooey. What's wrong with you today? Let me try that one more time. That's looking more promising.
So
What, did I try this 17 times before? Can I blame Wi-Fi? I don't know. The right now it doesn't. Well, I'll try one more time. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. All right, there you go. See? Third time's always a charm. So a couple things here. If I just sort of start typing, equals rand. This is another little trick here if you want to get a bunch of text in your document real quickly, and just navigate it away, my document would be saved. I don't even have to name my file. And so we've actually made this sort of approach that you can just boot the app, start typing, and there's really sort of no way you're going to lose your document. If I actually do want to name this, and I could call this, SPC live demo, I misspelled that, oh well, and name my document over here, and I'll go ahead and rename that document. We've also really made it easy to switch between your experiences. So if I wanted to go to, this should say OneDrive, if I wanted to go to my different things. So for example, I could click on Excel online here and get to the Excel app. We've built all these really great templates, and these templates all, they look fancy, but they actually work all really nicely inside of Excel online here. So if I go ahead and do that and click Continue, have that. This is off the server. Yeah, this is all the actual service here. So this is actually the real office.com that I'm showing against. This is the consumer service that I'm showing you. That's right. I can also flip. So this would take me to the consumer version of SkyDrive, the consumer version of Outlook, all those different kinds of things. I can go to PowerPoint. I could click Recent Documents. I'd be able to get to my recent documents and open things from there. I'm just showing this sort of real quickly because we are going to try to have this same sort of gist that eventually what we want to tell customers is the way that you go and get to your experiences is go to office.com. We can already tell you that today. Right now, if I did sign in and signed in with an actual corporate or an org ID, it would actually take me to sort of a kind of pretty different looking experience. But we are going to try to sort of bring these things together where we sort of have the ease of just going to one site, being able to click on Word or click on Excel. Because a lot of people, that's how they think about using Office. Today, the way that it works with OneDrive or OneDrive Pro is that you first go and look at a bunch of files and either click New or click on an existing file. And a lot of people today with desktop Office, they're just used to booting Word or booting PowerPoint or booting Excel. We want to try to provide that same experience to our customers just to try to make it as consistent, as familiar with them as we possibly can. Well, it's a complicated question because they will get more and more similar over time. And so I think you'll see stuff in the next 3 to 6 months where I think you'll start to see a lot of convergence. But in terms of our consumer services and our enterprise services being exactly identical, that might be a long journey for Microsoft. But I think you'll start seeing significant things in the next. And we think this is a big deal because consumerization of IT is a big thing that a lot of people sort of talk about. But we know a lot of people, let's take university students today. We know a lot of university students use Office Online. A lot of them use our competitor, Google Docs. And when people come to the enterprise, they want to use the same tools that they have in the enterprise. And so that's one of the reasons why we feel so strongly that we want to have OneDrive be successful for consumers so that when they come to their organizations, they have a consistent experience. That we want to have Office Online work for consumers and for organizations. The work that we're trying to do to make Outlook.com and OWA have a consistent thing, OneNote working across all those places. And so that's kind of a real big thing that we do. And finally, I just have a couple slides, and I'm pretty much done here. I just want to quickly talk to you about how we actually build Office Online. The first thing is we're built as a service first. I talked about new capabilities coming in frequently. Typically, about every 3 months, we have major new functionality or capabilities coming out. But occasionally, we'll release stuff even as often as monthly or daily. And so we saw just in this last couple months, we saw the Office Online stuff. We saw some features come in like headers and footers and comments and some other capabilities. And so we have this kind of service-oriented cycle. And I want to talk to you how we think that affects sort of enterprise customers and how we want to make sure we do this. We can update our service daily. We can update it more than that if we actually want to. Typically, we don't go and make a ton of changes to the services every day. But if we need to, we can make fixes quickly, and we think that's part of what makes our quality. But one of the really big things that we do is we really want to try to be data-informed. And so that we get basically a lot of great telemetry from people using our product. And so we want to make sure that the features that we add are the ones that are actually going to be most impactful to your customers or to our customers. And so we actually know what people are using, what they're searching for, what they're typing in the tell me box, and we can sort of figure out, hey, if we add a feature, is this actually driving engagement? Are people using it? And if they're not, we might actually pull it for the product. We actually want to make sure that people have, we don't want to, I don't want to use the term bloat, that's a bad term, but we want to make sure that we keep Office Online, you know, fast, streamlined, smooth. We want to make sure that we keep the things that have sort of the highest value. And you'll also see it as a place that we do innovation. So things like autosave, real-time co-authoring, rename, tell me, those are all features that I showed you that we have online yet that we don't actually have across all of our endpoints. You probably will expect to see those things on Office, on you know, the PC or the Mac or on a phone or other places. And we can sort of use the web as a place where we can actually try things, experiment, and learn. And one of the things I'm really curious about is right now we're doing more of our experimentation in the consumer space. And so we're trying out some things in the consumer space. It's an interesting debate whether or not we want to do experimentation for sort of our paying 365 customers. We're nervous about that because we want to make sure that we don't do things. But we think that there might be folks that actually want to participate in some of that. And so we might try to look at having programs where for customers that want to have the absolute latest, they can choose to do so and they can actually be part of the experimentation. And for customers that would rather have the stability, you know, which might be most people, they can have that as well. And probably the most important thing that I want to try to get out of this is that we actually really think that product quality is going to go up. So one of the, you know, when you think about Office in the past or SharePoint or anything, anytime that's a new release, people, you know, there's always a lot of testing and concern. We believe that by releasing more often, we're going to have fewer bugs, fewer problems, because we're going to be able to fix them very quickly. When we release a product, sometimes we know of issues that we have within minutes or within hours from the telemetry that we have. And we're able to fix that very quickly. And so any, you know, increase, you know, things by, you know, changes that we make potentially causing problems, you know, we think are going to be more than offset by our ability to fix them way faster and get those fixes out to customers way faster. And so no more of this, there's a problem and you go through a process and 6 months later you might actually get a fix. You know, now when there's problems, we're able to fix them hopefully right away in many cases. And I will say too, we're not going to make changes frequently that we expect that require significant relearning. So we're not going to change our UI from menus and toolbars to the ribbon, you know, every 3 weeks. You know, we're going to do those kinds of big sweeping changes on a much more deliberate pace. We might do things like in the ability to print, let you pick which pages you want to print and do that on a frequent basis because we think, well, everybody will enjoy that and we don't see that having sort of a downside. And so we are going to be very cautious on that. And this is actually the end of my deck. And then I'll just take a couple questions. So just my call to action, then I'll take a couple questions in the remaining minutes. First thing, use Office Online. If you haven't used it in a while, check it out. You might be surprised to see the improvements. Go to office.com. I think it's a URL you can remember, and you can see that experience. You can also send us feedback. So actually, in all of the online products, in the bottom, in the status bar, there's a button that says Help Improve Office, or it may say actually Tell Microsoft. We're actually flighting the two different strings, so depending on what you are. You can type that, send us feedback. We actually read every single piece of feedback. We get an enormous amount. It's an incredible commitment that we've had to try to read it. And then you can also send mail to Becca. Becca Astey was one of our great co-authors. And she is driving some usability studies, and we'd love to get some more organizations as a part of those. And so if you want to participate in a usability study, give your feedback, get a chance to learn about things, send mail to Becca. And that is basically what I got, and now I'll have questions in the remaining couple minutes. Yeah, so today, whenever we do updates, we do put it on our blog. It's not as formal as I think some other folks do. And so we are talking about trying to have a better process of having a real clear thing that, you know, an organization customer can go. So today, if you do go to the Office blog, every time we do something, we do announce it on the blog. So that is our sort of public to the world thing. But it is a good piece of feedback if we want to have a more formal thing for our enterprise customers on that point.
Mike, thanks for the presentation. My question is, on a use case, we have charge nurses at the UW Medical Center,
right.
And they came up with this cool solution. There's 22 units, and they have to update this thing called their census every 4 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And they did it in Excel web app,
right.
And they're using co-authoring. But there's a series of error message that they get. Last email I got from the guy was, we didn't get any recently. So, but what advice would you give to making sure that works smoothly? I said, go in and edit and then go onto the toolbar and say view and then switch it back to view. I turned on versioning, but there's still some error. So what kind of advice would you give for that to work well?
Well, you know, we shouldn't have errors. And so the, yeah, you know, I think having having a fresh session, so your suggestion there is a thing that can help, you know, increase reliability. So I think what you did is sort of a good suggestion. I would also click the help improve Office or tell Microsoft button and report that. And that when you do get the error, you can actually, sometimes on the error dialog itself, you can basically say send the error just like you have in Office, and then you can actually describe what you're doing. And so that way when we get the error at Microsoft, we'll have a better ability to debug actually what's causing the problems. Because, you know, we don't think errors are acceptable. We want to fix those things.
Okay, so that's better long term. And this is, I'm cheating a little bit because I have the microphone, but is there any talk, and you probably can't say it if there is, but if you can, that'd be great, on having some of the Office web apps like fill the vacuum left with by InfoPath?
There's no direct InfoPath replacement plans. There is this feature called Excel Surveys, and I don't know if folks have used it, where you basically...
You need to have external sharing turned on. That's a weird feature. Like, why would you... The customer says, I want to use Excel Survey like a faculty member. You say, well, you can't use it because we don't have external sharing turned on because it's limited to 10,000 sessions, and we have no idea when we'll reach 10,000 sessions at the University of Washington. So we turned it off. So Excel Surveys throws an error. Your administrator hasn't turned it on or something.
Oh.
So we can't use that and a lot of features that require that.
Send me mail. So my MIKMORT at Microsoft.com, and I'll follow up on that particular issue because we want Excel surveys to be used by large sets of people. So I'll follow up with the Excel.
It would be a great tool in the classroom.
But I don't want to. So the first half of your question, it is not a replacement for InfoPath. It's a cool feature, but it's a different thing.
But on the on-prem word, you can do field controls that can write to a column in SharePoint. That's kind of form-like.
That's a good question. So you can put it in the spreadsheet, how you would map that to a column with an Excel.
Well, I think in Word you can do like the
you
F9
probably
field.
Can.
Smart fields.
You know, as I said, I worked on SharePoint 8 years, and I still don't know half the things that it does. But I think that's probably
right.
The case.
Thank you very much.
Hi, in Office.com, can you access documents that are stored on the local PC? It seems to only want to grab them from the SkyDrive or OneDrive.
That's right. So today, you can't access documents on your local PC. It's only documents stored on OneDrive or OneDrive for Business. Of course, you can upload documents from your local PC to those locations, but we don't support editing documents actually on your local machine. For that, you have to have one of our native desktop apps.
Mm-hmm. And so if you have a link to a document in Outlook.com, will that open?
Yeah, that will work. So if a document is actually an attachment in either Outlook.com or in OWA, in both of those cases, we will let you edit those documents, and we'll basically, in the background, be sending those to a OneDrive or a OneDrive Pro where it can actually edit again. So we do we do support both of those scenarios.
Cool. So in Office.com, then, I would suggest that on the open dialog that you have the option to upload a document.
I think it's a great suggestion. Thank you. That's something that we should definitely do.
Hi. As you mentioned the presentation, the all new features is for consumer service first. But may I have any timeline to apply those features to Office Online on-premise? Or can I expect most of the features will be applied to Office Online for on-premise?
Right. So when we create new features, stuff that we do in the service usually goes, you know, if we do something that we try for consumers first, it would go to the Office 365 service very quickly. So that's usually measured like in weeks, you know, not even months. That's usually a very narrow time. On-premise is a trickier thing. Right now, the rhythm we have is honestly with our on-premise releases, which has been about, you know, every year and a half. I'll just say we very much want to speed up that pace, but that's the where we are right now. So in the current world, the stuff does get to business customers really right away in the service, but the on-premise stuff does have a delay, and that, you know, I've heard this enough times now to realize and to go back to the team and really make sure that we work on getting the on-premise release out as soon as we can.
Okay, thank you.
You know, the difference in advanced feature sets on desktop versus online, what happens if you have a document or a PowerPoint presentation that you start off on the desktop with some of those advanced feature sets? Can you still open them up in the online, and what happens to those?
So almost 98% of the time the answer is yes. So let's say you have a Word document that has an equation, a feature that we don't support right now.
Right.
You can still open that up. We actually will show you a little gray box that's like equation. You won't be able to edit the equation, obviously, but you'll still be able to edit and work with the rest of the Word document. There's only a couple features that will actually block you from opening the document because we're afraid that you might actually do something that would sort of mess it up. But we try really hard to let you edit the document even if we don't have that particular authoring feature available. And so, you know, the password protected is one that we won't let you open the document with. But I think, you know, most everything else we do try to let you open the document.
Yeah, and in talking about equations, I know for some of the desktop applications, especially in Word, I work at Aerospace Corp, a lot of our scientists have used equation add-ons for the Word, and I assume they're not going to work with the online.
So they use equation add-ons for desktop Word?
Yeah.
It's a reasonable assumption, though I think, so two things. So one is that, you know, equations is something that we're looking into.
Right.
And there is this thing in Office called Agaves, which is this new plugin model that's part of Office that lets people do things. And so there is a possibility that we are adding this programmability surface that will let people write things that run both in Word Online and in the desktop apps. Anything that sort of exists in the past, yeah, that's probably not going to work.
Uh-huh.
But we are trying to build a new infrastructure that in the future will let the next equation editing third party do that kind of thing.
Okay.
Do you know if any third party is implementing the WAPI protocol?
Is any third party implementing the WAPI protocol? So the WAPI protocol has a couple parts to it. There's the viewing part of the WAPI protocol, of which there's a ton of third parties that have implemented that part of the protocol. For the editing part of the protocol, we are aware of third parties that have tried. We're not aware of any that have succeeded. It's a very complicated protocol. Today, what we sort of recommend is if you're trying to build a solution that you want to edit things, that basically you build that solution on top of SharePoint instead of implementing the WAPI protocol. It is something that we're looking at part of what makes the WAPI protocol so complex is the co-authoring stuff that I showed you. And so something that's under consideration, so this is just, again, under consideration, would be a version of that will let third parties more easily implement it. You wouldn't get co-authoring, but you would get basic authoring. And so that's something that we've heard from third parties and we're looking at. For viewing, that's quite easy, and there are quite a few people that have done that. We just announced a partnership with DocuSign as an example of one recently who's going to be doing that. It's just one from just a week or two ago, I think.
Great presentation, by the way.
Thank you.
You demoed the accessibility with features. I missed the point that were they available already?
The accessibility stuff, again, in the service is I think most of what I showed is available. We're continuing to improve on that. And so your experiences will vary a little bit based on app to app. And so you'll get, you know, a better experience in Excel and Word than you will in PowerPoint. And so, what I demoed was actually what is on the live experience. But if you really have people that want to go deep and look into that, I think in the next 3 to 6 months, you're going to see that really go to a whole other level for people in terms of, you know, that have accessibility needs and screen readers.
Yeah, and I assume that these improvements are coming to Office 365, but not on-prem.
Yeah, well, it's the same story as everything else. They'll be first on 365, and we'll try to get it on-premise as soon as we can.
Thanks.
Hi. My question is related to macro-enabled Excel documents.
Sorry, what was that?
Macro-enabled documents. As of today, you don't support macro-enabled documents on web apps.
That's right.
Is there any plan?
So the the current thinking is that we are going to let you edit documents that have VBA or macros. So today we won't even let you open them, and that's one of the biggest, I think it is the biggest blocker of documents that people can open today. We are doing work actively to make it so you can edit those documents. We are not going to run the VBA in Excel Online, so the actual macros won't run. And we have no immediate plans to do that. It's a very complicated problem to run arbitrary VBA in our service. But we do fully intend to help you, let you open those documents and edit them. So if you have a thing where you have a complicated stuff, but people just need to add data to that spreadsheet, that scenario should be supported, or we're working on it.
Okay, so what you're saying is if I open a macro-enabled document, currently it'll strip out all the macros, and then if I save it, it'll save that version.
So yeah, and the macros will still all be there. It's just the macros won't run when you're inside the web app.
So it'll still be there, and only the non-macro editing that I did will just be copied into the document then?
That's right. So you can't edit nor run the macros. But if you have like a spreadsheet with macros and a big sheet of data, people can go and add their data to that sheet. And then somebody else, in the desktop Excel can run the macros or whatever their solution is.
And then when the document is saved, the macro is still there.
That's
it's not stripped out.
That's
okay,
right.
That was my
That's
understanding.
That's right. That is key. Yep.
Okay, awesome. Okay, thank you.
Hi, great presentation, by the way.
Thank you.
I work with an organization where most of our users are on Mac, and I'm sorry if I missed this, but I was just wondering if you can kind of at a high level describe OneDrive support for Mac OS specifically?
Yeah. So there are a couple parts of that. So all the browser stuff, works on Firefox, Chrome, and Safari on the Mac. There are a couple, the few places that you'll see differences is one is wanting to have native applications for the Mac, so wanting to have a OneDrive for business, local syncing on your Mac, or a OneDrive consumer thing, which we do have today already for the Mac. And so we already have the consumer one. We're working on that for business in terms of the sync. And the other part is I didn't really demo this, but the Office integration. We're really making sure that the same experiences that you can go from the browser version and open, Word for Windows, you can also open Word for the Mac and do those same kinds of things. And so we're trying to have as close to parity as we can. It's a little bit, we're a little bit behind releasing Office for the Mac than we are on Office for Windows, but when the new Office for the Mac comes out, it should catch up with a lot of the things that we've had for the 2013 release for Office for Windows.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm the last one. Thanks for the sections, by the way. And I got some licensing questions. Is the Office Online features, including those of the co-authoring, will be starting to be included into the standalone plan like the OneDrive for Business or SharePoint Online Plan 1 or Plan 2?
So I'm not the expert on this, but I'll take my best shot. So I believe that any of the plans where you have web app editing, you get web app editing in its complete thing, including the co-authoring stuff.
Okay.
There is one, I think there is one plan where you just get E1 or something, where you just get viewing with Office Online, but all the rest of the plans have the full editing capabilities of.
So E1 will be view only, and for the rest will be
co-authoring. Now I wish I had Amanda and share.
Because it's quite confusing.
I am not 100% sure on that. So. If you, again, send me email and I can get back to you on that.
Okay,
MIKMORT@microsoft.com.
Okay, thanks.
I'm not sure. I hate to make licensing mistakes.